DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Shimon Lyons here on Boston Sports Original WEEI on this rainy Saturday afternoon. Welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with us today, taking you up until 1 o'clock this afternoon until Rob Bradford takes over. Bradford will be live from the Ford Clubhouse Studios. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales event. So baseball isn't boring version with Rob Bradford coming up at about 1 o'clock. But Lyons, it's time for us to pivot out of baseball and into football, because all I want to do these days is talk football. It's in my blood, man. It's just all I ever want to talk about. And Ken decided to come at me during the Ken and Curtis show earlier today, claiming that I'm backpedaling and that I'm making all these silly predictions for Drake May. I don't think so. I'm curious where you stand, what your expectations heading into year two, now under Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels. A couple guys added to the offense a little bit here are for Drake May and the New England Patriots.
So I fully expect him to be a lot better than he was last year. And I didn't think he sucked last year by any means. But the biggest thing, and this isn't a sexy topic as much, he's got to limit the turnovers. Yep. I mean, 10 interceptions last year. He had a fumbling problem as well. And it wasn't just turnovers, because, look, turnovers are always bad. But turnovers in key spots, right?
Sure.
Like throws an interception to end the game against Tennessee. Throws an interception to end the game against the Rams. Throws an interception in the end zone against the Bills up in Buffalo. Then he's part of that backwards pass fiasco, which I don't think was really all his fault, but he was part of it. So it was turnovers, but it was also turnovers in key spots. And even the interception in the end zone against the Colts, to me, that was more on Hunter Henry than it was on him. It hit off Henry's hands. But just that, to me, has to be the biggest thing. Because last year, 15 touchdowns, pretty good for a guy that played, what, 12 games as a rookie?
Really only played 11, because he played, what, one drive in that Buffalo game in week 18?
Right, and he didn't play most of that Jets game either that Brissett came in and won. So, and a subpar coaching staff and a bad receiver room and bad offensive line around him. But still, 10 interceptions, what, 6 fumbles lost. So that's more turnovers than he had touchdown passes. And he had 2 rushing touchdowns too. But he needs to limit the turnover. If there's one thing, Shime, above all else that I'm watching with the Patriots this year, it's can Drake May limit the turnovers. And some of it's going to be using his checkdowns more, utilizing protections better, just making better decisions. And some of it's just going to be natural experience. But that, to me, if you're a Patriots fan like me, that is the biggest thing I think you should be watching.
And I think in this offense, as currently constituted, that's exactly what they're looking for as well. I don't think they're, and this is kind of my big contention with Ken and Curtis, is I don't think they're looking to throw the ball all around the yard. This is not the Bengals in year two with Joe Burrow, as they just acquired Ja'Marr Chase and their defense is horrendous and they are going to throw to win every game. Like, this is a team that wants to play ball control football. They want to run. They want to check down. They want to move their way down the field, not turn the football over, and play great defense. That's how they want to operate. And in that kind of system, Drake May's not going to have some insane numbers. It's just, it's not going to be the case. But if you see that interception number at 10 or below over a 17-game season, I think that's a success. I think if that fumble number is cut in half or less, that's a success. And that's where you really kind of want to judge Drake May. Of course, you want to see the touchdowns and the passing yards and all that stuff. That's great. That's wonderful. But you're absolutely right in that you need to prioritize reducing the turnovers, giving him more confidence to hitting those tight windows, and you're not going to have balls bounce off of Hunter Henry's hands
or
in the
Kayshon
end zone
Booty in
or
Arizona.
Kayshon Booty. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's kind of the big thing for Drake May heading into your team.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. And I think there's other pieces as well. Like, I talked to Drake May in late December about this on the afternoon show, and he said himself he wants to get better at hitting checkdowns. And I agree. I think that was something he, and part of that was an Alex Van Pelt thing and the way he structured it.
Definitely.
But I think Drake May struggled to do that. I think also understanding protections better when they're in empty sets would help Drake May a lot. I thought he struggled with that in camp. Got better as the year went on with that, but I still would like to see him. And going from read to read faster would help. And all these things that I'm talking about, I think with McDaniels, he's going to get better. Mm-hmm. And I think naturally as a second-year guy, he should get better, right? So I am optimistic for him overall. I think the talent is obviously there. And I think he understands the right decisions to make. He just didn't always make them last year, if that makes
sure.
sense. Like, he can look at it and say, wow, I really shouldn't have thrown that ball. I need to be better. Can he take the next step and actually make the better decisions in the moment? Like, that's what, because again, the turnover numbers, because you look at their schedule, Carolina, just throw an example, team in week four, you should be able to beat them. But if he throws a couple picks, you're not going to beat them. Like, you're not good enough to beat them if he turns the ball over. You're good enough to beat them if he doesn't turn the ball over. And I would say the same thing about when you play Tennessee, when you play the Jets, right? All these teams, you should be good
enough.
Even
Vegas in week one.
Right. I think Vegas in week one is an uphill battle for them. But
I agree.
I still say you're at least good enough to compete with them if he doesn't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, again, to me, that's a big thing with McDaniels. His offense has usually been really good about limiting turnovers to quarterbacks, especially the more experience they get as they go along. So I think that's going to be a part of this. And their offensive line is going to be better. I think their receiver room, it was the worst in the league last year, arguably. It'll be not great this year, but it'll be better. Mm-hmm. And I think Travion Henderson will make an impact as well. So I'm expecting him, like, should lower the turnovers. He should be in the 25 passing touchdown neighborhood. I think he's going to be probably in the 2 or 3 rushing touchdown neighborhood. I don't think they're going to run him a ton. I think they'll run him more than Van Pelt did.
Yep.
I don't think they'll run him a ton. I don't want them to run him a ton either.
So my thought, though, is I think they'll utilize his running more in the red zone than in the open field. Like, yeah. Last year was kind of the opposite. Last year, he was one of the best scramblers efficiency-wise in the NFL, and he was gaining, like, a first down almost every time he ran with the football. I think it's going to be kind of swapped. I think they're going to utilize his legs more in the red zone than in the open field, because they would rather, and they being McDaniels and Vrabel, would much rather him check it down to Travion Henderson or Ramondre Stevenson and let them do the work in the open field than him run and risk himself getting hurt. And so that's why I kind of expect the rushing number to be closer to 5. That's kind of the number I've set for myself there. In terms of passing touchdowns, my number was more than 20. I want to be more than 20 touchdown passes plus the 5 rushing, and then I want to be 10, 11 or less interceptions. Like, that's kind of my number. And I feel like if you're moving in that direction, first year with Josh McDaniels, that's great. And Ken will throw in my face all of these quarterbacks in year 2. So let me read off a couple of them, and let's go through the differences between them and Drake May real quick, because it's kind of insane. So Ken, the first name Ken threw out, Lamar Jackson in year 2 had 36 touchdowns. Lamar Jackson in year 2, coming off a playoff season in his rookie year. He only played 8 games his rookie year, but made the playoffs. And by the way, he won the MVP there in his second season.
That was 2019, right?
Yes. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, 50 touchdowns in his second season in the NFL.
Well, he's also, to me, that's an outlier. Like, that dude's a top 5 quarterback of all time.
He was also throwing to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Yeah. Is there anyone even close to those players on this Patriots team?
No.
And do they have anyone close to Andy Reid in terms of play calling?
Yes, I think McDaniels is close to him.
You think higher of McDaniels than I do. Then he throws Jared Goff out. 28 touchdown passes in his second year. He started the season. That was his first season with Sean McVay. That's why Jared Goff.
That was 2017, right?
I believe that was 2017 or 2018.
16,
yes.
He had Jeff Fisher, so 17.
Correct. Yeah, he was 0-7 in 2016 under Jeff Fisher, and then they went, I believe it was 11-4 the first year under Sean McVay, who arguably is the best coach in football, in my opinion. Then he also threw out a guy like Joe Burrow, his second season. Comes off the ACL in the first season. Second season comes out, throws for 34 touchdown passes, but there was one big addition in that offseason. That'd be Jamar Chase.
I will say with Burrow, though, one thing that is comparable is he had a terrible offensive line.
Sure.
Then. So I think that's something that if you're looking for, like, he obviously they have no one here like Chase at all. But he at least Burrow did have a terrible offense. I mean, he still kind of does. I mean, it's better now, but it was really bad those first couple of years.
So my question for you, if you're comparing Drake May and Joe Burrow, since Joe Burrow had a down first year, he ended up with the injury and then came back the second year, got Ja'Marr Chase and absolutely went nuclear in year two, completed 70% of his passes, 34 touchdowns, 4,600 yards. He had 520 pass attempts. Does Drake May get anywhere close to 520 pass attempts?
Yeah, I think he does, and I think what you should want out of Drake, so again, the number one most important thing is limiting the turnovers.
Yep.
From a touchdown perspective, if Drake May can account for like 30 to 32 total touchdowns between passing and running, again, I think he throws for 25 to 27, runs for 2, 3, maybe 4, whatever. If he can be in that 30 touchdown neighborhood, total touchdown, 30 or above, then I think we're going to feel really good about him at the end of the year. Because, again, 17 games, you have a schedule that's not that good, you have McDaniels, you now have a better offensive line. Again, it's not elite, but you have a better offensive line in front of him. You have better skill position players. Again, not elite, but better skill position players. And he's going to have a better defense as well, getting him the ball more, hopefully in more advantageous positions. So I think you got to be in that 30-touchdown total neighborhood passing and rushing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be there, but I just think that asking this team to go from 17 points per game and get upwards into the high 20s is a massive ask in terms of points per game.
I think you
can
get to the mid-20s.
Yeah, and if you get to the mid-20s, you're right in the middle of the pack in the league. So if you get to...
Because they were, like, so bad.
They were so bad.
Like, comparing it to last year is almost... And I'm not saying it's unfair, but it's like they were so bad last year. Coaching, playing, personnel, everything. Like, they're not going to be... like that.
25 points per game would put them at like 11th in points per game in offenses in football.
Mac Jones rookie year with McDaniels, they were 7th.
Sure.
So like in that, again, so 11th, like you're in that neighborhood.
If you can get there, great. But the big difference with Mac Jones's rookie year is he also had the second best defense in football that year.
Sure.
In terms of points per game, I think it was 4th best in terms of yards per game. Like that's, if you want Drake May in this offense to be a top 10 offense, the defense needs to be equally as good, actually better than that. They need to be a top 5 defense in order for that to happen.
And what's
like
great,
this offense, just everybody's all excited and geeked up about Stephon Diggs and Morgan Moses and Garrett Bradbury, and that's great, and they are better than last year, but like they're not like leaps and bounds better yet. They just aren't.
I think they, yeah, right. Because again, better doesn't equate to great, right?
Yeah, 100%,
they don't equate.
Exactly. It's a great point.
But I do think they are a lot better. Like, you know who your right tackle is, and he'll be solid. Your left tackle, I like Will Campbell. I think he'll be good. You know that Travion Henderson, I think, will make some plays for you. Your receiver room will be better. Your play calling and scheming will be better. Like, you, those things will be better. Now, the question is, Shime, how big a jump can you take? Because last year, to me, I thought they were the second worst offense in the league, only ahead of Carolina. Okay? And we can nitpick and say whatever.
Sure.
So can you get from second to 16th? 15th? Because to me, that would be a good jump. And so, can May go from being, like last year, May was probably on the whole 22nd, 23rd best quarterback in the league, whatever you, can you get to 11th? Can you get to, so can you get, so because if you get 30 touchdowns and you limit your turnovers from last year, then I think you're in that 11th-ish neighborhood.
So just in terms of passing touchdowns, if you get to 25 like you want to, you would be tied for 10th in the league.
Okay, there you go.
If you get to over 20, which is the number I wanted to, so a minimum of 21, you would be tied for 13th.
Yeah.
Like, that's the zone we want to be in. That's a totally good season for Drake May. If you limit the turnovers and you're in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL, that is tremendous progress from where you were last season with an offense that was, as you put it, bottom two in football.
Yeah, and I know we got to go to break, but, and we can talk more about this later, but defensively, your point is a good one, because let's not forget, in Bill Belichick's last year, they were top five defense.
100%.
Top seven at worst.
Yep.
And last year, the bottom fell out. So with some of the additions, do they get back to that 2023 level? Or was last year so bad that maybe the best they can do is get back to the middle of the... Like, that's another big thing to be watching as well.
617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the Patriots or even the Red Sox from hour one. Feel free to call in. We're going to continue with this Patriots conversation next. But right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what is trending in the wide world of...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports. Lions and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Little rainy Saturday. Been talking Pats here in the second hour. Talk a lot of Sox, a little bit of Bruins in the first hour. We got baseball is important coming up after us at 1 o'clock with Rob Bradford. So make sure to keep it locked right here on WEEI.
Red Sox are doing their best to prove him wrong, though.
That's true.
That was a line from Chris Curtis earlier. I tipped my cap to him. That was a good line.
Yeah. Six losses in a row, a 9-0 loss last night. Not great.
Yeah, it was, dare I say, a little boring last night. Boring to watch last night.
A lot of it has been because the Red Sox don't hit.
Yeah. So I think Roman Anthony had, a double in the first inning, and then they didn't get a runner to second for, four more innings or so. I forget what. I was watching the game. I was just, so frustrated.
It's brutal. But we were talking about the New England Patriots. Hopefully their season will be less brutal than the last two. That's for sure. So we were talking a lot about the expectations of Drake May. And before the break, you really wanted to discuss the defense, because if you look back to when Mac Jones had his successful rookie year, the defense was a top five defense in football under Bill Belichick. Even still after that, Bill's defense was always good. And then last year, the defense was horrendous, terribly bad. They could not stop the run to save their lives. If you go back and watch that Jaguars game, you'll remember that vividly.
18 straight runs, right?
Insane. Yes, correct. And so this year, they made a lot of additions in free agency to the defensive side of the ball. Guy like Milton Williams, guys like Carlton Davis and Robert Spillane, and they're hoping to be better on defense under Mike Vrabel. But I ask you, Lions, how much better will they be on defense? Will they be able to get into that top 10, top 5 defensive argument?
So I think they're going to be right in that 8 to 10 range, maybe 11-ish. And the reason I say that is I think Milton Williams is the headliner this offseason, biggest contract in team history. I look at Carlton Davis as the guy I'm most excited about on defense, because when you have a legit number 2 corner that can play man, and Detroit played the most man coverage in the NFL last year, opposite Gonzalez, first of all, it gives you a huge advantage against most other teams' passing attacks, but it allows you to do so many different things. You can mess around with your safeties. You can blitz more. You can do exotic pressures. When you have those two really good corners, and Gonzalez is an all-pro level player, and Davis is not that good, but he's still a really, really good player. So that, to me, right there, is going to make your defense much better. I think Craig Woodson is going to surprise a lot of people. And I think your pass rush up front, with Milton Williams, obviously, but a returning and healthy Barmore, Keon White finally being utilized more and correctly, and then the combination of Harold Landry, Kavion LeChase, all those other guys, your pass rush is going to be much better. Now, the reason I stop at, say, the 8 to 10 range and don't go higher, I do have concerns about their run defense, and I do have some concerns about Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers at safety. Mm-hmm. And as good as they've been, Duggar was hurt last year and played bad. Peppers was out most of last year for off-the-field stuff. They're both going to be back this year, hopefully fully healthy, but I want to see them actually play well more consistently this year, because they didn't last year. And your run defense, like I said, Spillane, I think, is a good run defender. Anthony Jennings, I think, is a good run defender. Is there anyone else that you look at and you say, I know for sure that guy is a really good run defender? I don't like,
especially on the defensive line too.
Exactly.
Really up front, you don't have that.
They don't suck. Milton Williams and Barmore, they don't suck against the run. But
and
they
signed Kyrie's Tonga, correct? Try and be that,
right? Are they really good? And Joshua Farmer, even there's a lot to like there, but he's got to be better against the run. So that is, to me, last year they're 23rd in the league in run defense. They gave up 4.5 yards per carry. They'll be better than that, but I stop short of saying they're going to be a top 5 defense, because I don't know how much better than that.
Fortunately for them, though, in terms of run defense, you're going to start strong here. You get Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh, Carolina your first 4 weeks of the season. Vegas was arguably the worst rushing offense in football last year. Granted, they'll be better this year with Ashton Jeanty.
And I think with Pete Carroll. Like, I think they'll be better.
They'll be better, but they're still not going to be top of the league in terms of rushing. Miami, with Tua off the field, Devon Achane was very kind of invisible at times. With Tua there, he was better, but that's a lot because of the passing and the way they use him on swings and stuff like that. So Miami's run offense isn't all that strong. Pittsburgh's rushing offense isn't all that strong. And then you look at Carolina. Chuba Hubbard's good, but he's not one of the best backs in football. So it's like, okay, you start relatively easy against the run and against teams that all are fine. One of them was a playoff team last year. Like, there's an opportunity here for you to kind of start strong, and then maybe hopefully momentum will carry forward. I just worry, you bring up the run defense, the depth. Because even if these guys are good, if Barmore and Mill Williams are great against the run this year, one guy goes down, and then it becomes slim pickings.
And I think when you talk about Milton Williams, he was terrific last year.
Yep.
But he played less than 50% of the snaps.
Correct.
And he's playing next to a guy in Jalen Carter, who I think is a future Hall of Famer. Josh Sweat is a terrific defensive end. They had Jordan Davis. Like, he had all these great players around him. They had a good secondary. I mean, they dominated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? We all saw it. They had this great defense. Now he's coming to a defensive front that is good, but it's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have to play probably 70% of the snaps to really have a full impact. So that to me is something. And I'm not saying he can't do it. It's just something, like, when I go to training camp practices this spring, like, that's what I'm going to be watching. Like, how is this guy doing throughout most of a camp practice early in the season? Like, you mentioned it. Week one against the Raiders, Milton Williams might be fine playing 70 snaps. What about when you get to week four against Carolina?
Or week
you get
12 to week versus eight, Cincinnati.
Or week 15, right? Is he still being able to hold up? Then even Barmore, who I love the player, but he missed most of last year.
Yeah.
How is he going to be in week 12, week 15? Like, that, to me, the depth point, I feel like you have a lot of depth at defensive end. You have good depth, I think, at corner, because I like Alex Austin. But you have questionable depth at defensive tackle, questionable depth at linebacker. And safety, I think your top three guys are good. Marte Mapu, I kind of like, but it's
but they
like,
moved him to linebacker almost
right. So
right?
It's like, it's what are you going to do with him? So I think you do have some depth questions, and that's organizationally. Usually, when a team wins four games in back-to-back years, you don't have a lot of depth. Right?
Like, I completely agree.
And
it translates to the offensive side of the ball too, because you picked up Will Campbell with the fourth overall pick in the draft. You picked up Garrett Bradbury and you picked up Morgan Moses to help your offensive line. Morgan Moses is in his mid-30s coming off a knee injury. He's been in football forever, so who knows how long he'll be able to last in an NFL season, if he can play all 17 games or not. Garrett Bradbury is a guy that you kind of just signed out of necessity, because I guess you didn't want to start Ben Brown, who started a lot of games for you last year and who was
Jared
an undrafted
Wilson's
guy.
Probably not ready yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Jared Wilson's probably not ready yet to play center in the NFL. And then Will Campbell, you like Will Campbell more than I do, but you don't even know that Will Campbell is going to be a 17-game starter at left tackle at this point.
And I think you don't know who your left guard is.
You have no idea.
It could be Cole Strange. It could be Leighton Robinson. It could be, you know, it could be Jared Wilson, who I just mentioned.
In the words of my normal Saturday co-host, Mego, Mike Onwenu showed up to practice a little overweight.
And I think that's another thing that happened last year too.
Yes, it did.
And that's a concern as well. So again, I think it's kind of that conversation we had last segment where, yes, they will be better, but better does not always equate to being great.
Exactly.
And I think those are two different things. So that's why defensively, like, I think their pass defense is going to be a lot better than a year ago.
Yep.
I think their run defense, I think their pass defense is going to be very, very good.
I hope
their run defense will be better, but I don't necessarily see it being great. And even, like, it was weird, because in Belichick's last year, best in the league in yards per carry. The year before that, in 2022, run defense was really inconsistent. And then last year, so two out of the last 3 years, they've had an inconsistent, and then 1 year, it was amazing. So it's tough to tell exactly what to expect there.
Yeah, and a lot of times with run defense, a lot of it's effort, too, right? Like, a lot of it is just guys, you know, clogging up lanes, making it difficult for running backs to find lanes. And
I think they got out-schemed at times last 100%. Year. And also, too,
they got pushed around.
And I think
year.
That you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, that 18 straight runs against Jacksonville, like, that's not going to happen this year.
No.
Okay, or the Colts game, a 19-play drive plus a 2-point conversion to win, that's not going to happen this year. However, those things won't happen doesn't mean your defense is suddenly going to be elite. Like, it'll be better, but I think they have to be. They were so bad last year.
I agree.
Like, they just, like you said, the perfect phrase. They just got pushed around.
617-779-7937. Matt's in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just quick. I'm glad to see Ramondre Stevenson took last year seriously and came back looking pretty fit. Obviously, the second-round draft pick is going to push him. But on the defense, Spillane really had a great last two seasons, 170 tackles. You're just saying a lot of that Lions, the depth. Yeah, but, you know, Keon White's got to put up or shut up, too. He's got to do this thing. And Kyle Duggar, can you just take one step towards not biting on every play action? And, he's a great player. I love the player, but he's just got to make a stride. And Peppers has got a chip on his shoulder, so I'm looking forward to violence and the way the defensive coordinator described it, not how Elliot Wolf described it. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, I hope the safeties are good. I have a lot of concerns about the safety group. I don't think any
both
of them are
guys,
all that good
by
in
the
coverage.
Way, they have outs in those contracts after this year, both guys. I think, and to your point, and I said this with Fitzy on a Six Rings Pod episode earlier this week, I think the player that is going to surprise Patriots fans the most this year is going to be Craig Woodson, because I think he's going to play more than people think.
Do you think he's going to be at safety or more at corner?
So what I like about him is he played free safety at Cal, but he also had snaps at box safety. He had snaps at slot corner. I think he's going to be a safety. I think they're going to try to make him the free safety, but I think there'll be some box safety reps there. But I say that because I don't have high confidence that Peppers and Duggar will both be good and healthy all year. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to sit here in December and Travion Henderson will probably be the most exciting rookie, or Kyle Williams, and Will Campbell will be the guy that we probably talk about as much as anyone because of the position of where he's drafted. But Craig Woodson will be the guy that we'll sit here and we'll be like, wow, he's playing a lot more than I thought he would, and he's playing pretty well. And I think part of it is him. I think he's a pretty good player. But I think part of it is they do have this uncertainty at their safety group, right? Whether it's injuries and ineffectiveness to Duggar, the caller just said it, bites on play action a lot. Peppers is getting a little bit old. He's going to be on the wrong side of 30. And Marte Mapu, who I thought was one of three players total last year that actually got better as the year went on, we still haven't seen a ton from him.
No.
So
he's not going to play safety this year.
And right, he may not even play safety. So I think Woodson is going to be the guy. And I think they're going to use three safeties more than they use three corners.
Yeah, and I think you're really onto something here.
And that's a Vrabel thing. I mean, we'll see if they – that's a philosophical debate. You want three corners, you want three safeties. I think it's going to be three safeties.
I totally agree with you, and I even thought this when they drafted Craig Woodson, that he may get a lot more playing time than people expect, simply because – post Devin McCourty, they haven't had a center field kind of safety.
I wanted them to draft Andrew Mukuba so
like,
bad.
There's so much redundancy at safety for them that they need a guy who can play in coverage, and Craig Woodson fits that bill. Because he has the ability to do that at free safety, he also could slide up as a slot corner. Like, he had that opportunity in college. I think you're going to see him have that opportunity in the NFL for guys like Jabril Peppers. And we saw how bad Kyle Duggar was in coverage over the last two seasons. He is not good. He's great when he's up in the box. He's great at helping stop the run. Not good in coverage. He is horrendous. And so Craig Woodson, I think you're absolutely right, he's going to have a perfect opportunity to find himself in a lot of those third and long situations, those coverage opportunities, playing that deep center safety, because I think he has good closing speed. Like, I think that was one of the big positives about him, is that his closing speed is really, really good. And so he's going to be able to track the quarterback, track the football, close on that, and help out down the field on those deep passes.
And every training camp, Shyam, right, we always talk about, camp battles and position battles and this and that. And I think one of the most intriguing ones to watch this year, it's not going to be a true position versus position battle. It's going to be, to me, who has a better training camp, Marcus Jones or Craig Woodson? Because that's going to determine, do they go three corners or three safeties? Because if Marcus Jones is really good in camp and he's covering everybody in the slot, well, they're going to have Gonzo Davis and Marcus Jones, and they're going to run with three corners. But if Craig Woodson is really good, then they're going to go three safeties with Duggar and Peppers, and I think Woodson over the top. So to me, I think that is, even though it's not a true, like, wide receiver versus wide receiver position back, that to me is one of the things to watch. Which one of those guys is better in camp, Woodson or Jones? Because I think that's going to determine how they kind of approach this defensively and which one of those guys gets a lot more playing time.
And the hope is that they're both pretty good, because then you can kind of alternate between the two options depending on the matchup, depending on the schemes that you're facing. And it also allows for Marcus Jones to try and stay healthy for an entire season.
Marcus Jones is a guy with his speed, and he's played a few snaps at free safety before. It's not outside the realm of possibility. He's a little short for that position,
for my mind. Very much
so. But that is even something that maybe could be in the mix. Alex Austin's name is in that mix as well. So I don't, like, to me, that's one thing to really watch with this team, is Craig Woodson versus Marcus Jones, and then how does that affect their defensive philosophy?
Yeah, especially because I think if Craig Woodson blows people away, I think there's an opportunity for Marcus Jones to focus a lot on special teams, like being the focal point of being the punt returner, yeah, the kick returner, things like that, because we know how electric he is with the ball in his hands and how fragile he's been over the course of
season. Another guy that missed last year, right?
Yeah, so you need to kind of find ways to preserve him or have him focus on one job. And so either I think there's an opportunity for him to either win that defensive role in camp, like you said, and be like that third corner and constantly be on the field. And then maybe a guy like Efton Chisholm sneaks in to be your special teams returner. Or there's an opportunity there for Craig Woodson to step in, be really good on defense, and have Marcus Jones focus on the special teams.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, if to go back to our larger point, if this team is going to take a step forward this year, Drake May is going to have to be better. Yes,
yeah,
their coaching staff is going to have to be better. But their defense is going to have to be better, too. I mean, you said the phrase pushed around, and you're 100% right. And you just go back through some of the games last year. Whenever they needed a key stop, they could. The Rams game, they give up. They go cover zero in the third quarter and give up a 69-yard touchdown pass. Like, the Seattle game, they need key stops late in the game and in overtime. Don't get them.
Can't get it.
Whenever they needed the Miami game, whenever they needed
the Indianapolis game.
Exactly, 100%. Like,
you
could just
earlier.
Go through.
What was it, 19 straight plays, did you say,
including a two-point conversion, like, on top of it. Like, whenever they needed key stops.
Couldn't get it.
Even the Tennessee game. And I know they only gave up 20 points, but late in the game when they needed key stops. Like, they don't get key stops when they need it. That's going to have to be a huge part of this, too.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I want to address this text message. 508 texter. So, just to be clear, they call me Shame, not Shime. But
on
that's
purpose.
Fine. Nobody knows how to spell my last name. I don't take offense to. You think your boy Drake has essentially the season Mac Jones had as a rookie. You'll be happy with that. Not great, Bob. If he's the guy, he should be at 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 7 picks. I think he's closer to okay, so just
the 30
for clarification,
touchdowns I'll give him. I think 4,500 yards is a little high.
4,500 yards. Do you know where that would put him last year in the NFL?
Like sixth?
Fourth.
I was going to say fourth.
Actually, tied for third with Baker Mayfield, who had exactly 4,500 yards. Touchdowns. You want him to be at 30 passing touchdowns? That would put him at sixth behind Burrow, Mayfield, Jackson, Goff, and Sam Darnold, who had his greatest year. And then interceptions-wise, if you want him at, like, 7 picks, less than 10 picks, that's going to be in the top 5 to 10 in the league.
And that, to me, the most realistic, the most realistic of those is the 7 picks. Like, can you limit the turnovers there, especially if they're going to run the ball a decent amount? Like, that, to me, is the one you should really be. Like, 4,500 yards, if he gets to 3,500, because Mac Jones' rookie year, by the way, he had 3,800 yards. So if he has in that ballpark, 35 to 3,800, 30 total touchdowns, passing and running, and 10 or fewer interceptions, to me, that's a great season for your second-year quarterback.
I think if you're talking about 4,500 total yards where you're incorporating the rushing ability plus the passing, I think that's way
even
more
that
realistic.
I think is high, because I don't think he's going to run for that many. Because, again, I think it's going to be third and one, fourth and one.
So last year in basically 10 games, he ran for, 422 yards, I think the number was. I think in 17 games, he could put up about the same number, right? So that means less of a rate of running, but still kind of the same kind of efficiency. And so I think if you're talking 400 rushing yards and 3,800 passing yards, like, that's a great ballpark. 4,200 total yards is great. And then if you're somewhere in that 26 to 32 touchdown range, total rushing and passing, that's great. And then you want that number of interceptions at about 10 or 11 or less.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
I would like it 10 or below. And then, if he's, to me, honestly, if he is 3,800 yards passing, fewer than 10 interceptions, and then he has 30 total, I think that's a great season. Considering second year, first year with this offensive coordinator. And by the way, right, it's his second year with Hunter Henry and DeMario Douglas and Stevenson. Most of the other guys on the offense aren't, whether it's Diggs, whether it's Kyle Williams. I mean, Jalen Polk was a ghost last year.
He's probably not going to play anyway. He still has to try and make the team.
Exactly. Travion Henderson's new. So there's a lot of guys there that are going to be key contributors up front, right? Like, his center is going to be new. His left tackle is going to be new. His right tackle is going to be new. So I think if you put all that together and you say he's in the 3,800, 4,000-yard neighborhood, 30-touchdown neighborhood, limits the turnovers, that's a great season.
I also think that people overlook the fact during Mac Jones' rookie season, I already pointed out they had like a top 5 defense. But on top of that, Josh McDaniels had been here for a while at that point. The system had been established. There were a lot of guys already here that understood the system, were able to help their quarterback out and be better because they had been here. They were familiar with the language. They understood the scheme. They understood all of that. Whereas Josh McDaniels is now coming in. It's a lot of new guys. The only real guy that knows his system is Kendrick Bourne.
And Hunter Henry.
And Hunter Henry.
I guess
if you want to say
Mike Onwenu. I mean, if you want, and Stevenson.
We'll see how that works.
And Stevenson. So it's three, but it's three skill players.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And that's it. And Kendrick Bourne is fighting to make the team. Like, that's kind of where we are. And so, again, this is a young quarterback learning a very new system for him. But even Edelman gave him credit asking a lot of the right questions when he was there. And so I'm excited to see what happens. He's not going to be an MVP candidate. I'm not going to put that on him. That's silly. To go from four wins to being an MVP candidate is insane. Anybody that thinks that is stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think if you can walk away from this year and say he was much better than last year and they have the guy,
That's
really what you want. And we can parse the numbers. Like, you can say 4,000 yards. I can say 3,800. You can say 26 touchdowns. I can say 30. We can parse. But if you walk away from this year and say, wow, he was a lot better than his rookie year, and they have the guy to win a championship with down the road, that's what you want here.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. One more segment to go here for Lions and Scheim on Boston Sports Original.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WEEI. Scheim and Lions here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. A little extended edition. Brad phone messed up a little bit. Apparently he got the key like jammed in the door at the Fenway Park studio. Can't get in. It's going to be Scheim and Lions, a little extra time. And then as soon as Bradfo gets into the studio, he'll take over with Baseball Isn't Boring. But for now, you get a little extra Scheim and Lions.
His entrance sure as heck won't be boring.
Definitely won't be. It'll probably be Madfo instead of just Bradfo today.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not Sadfo that can't get in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I do like Gladfo, though. Gladfo's a good time.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So there you go.
Fenway Park, good place to broadcast as long as you get the door open.
Yeah, that's true.
I was telling you off air, I once had a struggle where I could not find the key.
The couple of times I've done it from there, I have not been the first one there, so I haven't had to worry about that. But it's a great place.
The Bruins just drafted another BC player.
Ooh, who did they take?
William Moore.
Okay, right, you're the BC hockey guy. You called all of the BC hockey games at home for the last three seasons, correct?
That is correct.
What do we know about William Moore?
William Moore, he played with the United States National Team Development Program last season. He's taller. He looked really skinny when I was watching him. He was fine.
Forward, defenseman?
He's a forward. Okay. He's a winger, most likely. And you know, I don't really know much about him because he didn't play at BC last season, but I know that the scouts were pretty high on him.
Okay. So a taller, lankier winger. All right.
This is a total side note, not related. We like the Bruins' new uniforms.
Like them, don't love them.
Yeah, so I'm in the total minority here. I like the ones they had before.
Last year, but
their usual ones, like when they
the original,
like with Bergeron and Krejci.
Yeah, those ones are way better.
Yeah, I like those better. And also, by the way, the best jersey they've ever had was that 2022 reverse retro, the white one with the bear face on the front.
Oh, that was the best jersey, 100%.
If they bring that back as an alternate, I would love it. Like, that's what I want more than anything. So I don't dislike the new jerseys.
That's the one with the Pooh Bear, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that. Yes. I bought one. Literally. Yes. I bought one.
That is the best jersey. I completely agree with you.
Especially because the old Pooh Bear jerseys with the gold, those were cool, but the white one was freaking
sick.
Awesome. Yeah,
so clean.
So they need to bring that back as an alternate. Yep. But yeah, these new ones, again, like them, but I like the previous ones better.
Yeah, I know
I'm in the minority on that.
But. No, I'm with you. I think these are fine. Like last year's I didn't love. This year's they're fine. I think the white ones
look better than the black ones.
Yeah, I don't know. They're fine.
Again, I don't dislike. I just like that. And maybe it's because I associate.
When there's so many way better jerseys, you'd think these would be. Like, get a little creative with it. It's very just kind of blocky and not appealing to the
and
eye.
And maybe it's because I associate the last jerseys with them going to the Cup three times and winning a championship in 2011. So,
probably.
In fairness to me, that could be part of it.
Yeah, sure.
But I just really like those jerseys. And, again, bring me back the Pooh Bear face reverse retro as an alternate.
So we were going to do Celtics here, but I really like the fashion uniform conversation, so I'm going to pivot in this direction anyways. I got to tell you, you talk about being in the minority for the Bruins jerseys. I think I'm in the minority. I think the best Celtics jerseys are the black Celtics jerseys with the green lettering.
So I have a friend of mine. So my group of friends were all obsessed Celtics fan nerds.
Mm-hmm.
That's his favorite jerseys, too. Mine are the mine are the icon ones, so the green ones with the white Boston. That's my favorite, but I like those black jerseys a lot.
They're so clean.
Yeah, and they're Jordan brand, too, which I think is pretty sweet,
yep.
too. I like those a lot. So my favorite are the green ones with the white lettering that says Boston, but those black jerseys are really nice.
Because those black ones are very, very similar to, in the NFL, like the Ravens black jerseys with the purple lettering. I just think
those
kind of
the
colors
Bengals
pop
black jerseys.
Off that black. Yes. Oh, yeah. The Bengals all whites are filthy. Those things are dirty good.
Yeah, and those Bengals, even the Bengals like black jerseys with the little orange stripes in them, like those are sweet. Yeah.
Who has the best jersey in town?
Wow.
Because the Patriots jersey, I gotta tell you,
so
the Patriots jerseys suck.
I agree completely. I think the Patriots never should have got rid of their dynasty era uniforms.
No.
That was a mistake from the beginning.
They went with the color rush uniforms, which sucked in the first place.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree with you. By the way,
version of those jerseys that are any good are the red ones. Continue, sorry.
Yes, and I also used to like back in the day where the Patriots wear a silver jersey once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those? Those are
nice.
But no, the Patriots should 100% go back to their dynasty era uniforms because they're just flat out better.
Way better.
And the logo on the sleeve, remember, they used to have, it was just way better. Right now, the best uniform in town... If the Bruins bring back that reverse retro, I will say that. But the best right now, probably those green Celtics jerseys are my favorites. And I like the new Red Sox City Connect. I like the Red Sox.
I love the City Connects. Those are nice.
And I like the Red Sox traditional away grays with the red Boston letter.
Sure, it's classic.
Traditional. It's clean.
Yep.
I like
no
those
issues.
A lot. I would say, I mean, yeah, I'd say I'd give it to that. That's green Celtics jersey. It's iconic. Mm-hmm. It says Boston. Makes me think of the Bill Russell era as well. I really like those jerseys.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I think the Celtics have, if you're talking about current jerseys right now, I think the Celtics have the best looking ones. You're right. The Red Sox classic, the City Connect is real clean. Like, those are real nice. I love those. The Green Monster look was such a smart idea.
I think it's better than their previous City Connect.
Oh, way better.
And I will say, though, those blue City Connect hats on the marathon.
Real nice.
I have one of those. Those are awesome.
Yeah.
But
totally
I like
agree.
This whole uniform, the new one, by the way. Like
I think I know a lot of people
we
don't
should
love
get
it.
Some of those, by the way. Keith got one in the mail.
Yeah, it took him a while to get
And the
one,
afternoon
though.
Show guys got one.
Yeah,
but
the morning show didn't
get
anything.
Yeah, morning show doesn't get them. Us weekend got nothing, right? No. Like, why can't I have a Red Sox City Connect
jersey? To be fair, I did get a Travion Henderson jersey, so I'm not complaining about anything.
The Patriots gave you a Travion Henderson?
They said they sent one over because I was begging them for like a week. I'm like, just tell me what his number is. I want to buy it. And they sent me over the very first one that wasn't worn by Travion Henderson. Yeah,
interesting.
So I have.
See, I get nothing.
So
that's unbelievable.
I wish the Patriots would switch up the
Patriots
look
fan
of the
as Fitzy,
jersey,
and I get nothing.
I'm just saying.
I know. I'm jealous of you, but in a good way. I respect you.
I respect you, but I hate you.
Yes. Also, too, one thing: the Celtics need to stop alternating their city editions all the time.
Just
the
make
ones
one
they had, the dark green ones, the Bill Russell
those
tribute ones, should have kept them.
Yeah.
I don't know why they got rid of those. I hate that.
I think teams need to.
They should make one off the gas tank on I-93 too.
They need to be allowed to use like City Connect or retro uniforms more often.
Yeah, and
when teams do that, like when the Broncos go to their like orange ones, awesome jerseys.
And I think that by the way, Patriots should wear those 90s blues once in a while.
Awesome. Like the original Drew Bledsoe, Ty Law blues.
And it's crazy, too, that in Brady's whole tenure, 20 years, they never wore those. They've never worn them since the 90s ended.
Which is crazy.
And the reds are cooler. I get it. But like once in a while, like once every couple of years, wear those.
If I could get a Drake May 90s blue, I'd buy it in a second. I already have a Drake May red. I would get a Drake May 90s blue.
I'm kind of a traditionalist with a lot of uniforms in that, like, I want a home jersey, a road jersey, and one, maybe two alternates, but you don't wear them that often.
Yep.
So I want it to be special. Like, so I'm more of a traditionalist that, like, even the Red Sox Green Monster ones, wear those Friday night home games, that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Padres do that. Like, they wear their...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.